Everybody's ringing the death knell for print media lately, even newspapers. But not every ship is sinking. On today's show, we're talking to Gay Chicago Magazine's new publisher, Michael Harrington. On the first day of the year, Michael took over the helm of Illinois' longest-running gay and lesbian print publication and hopes to steer the ship to a brighter, sunnier horizon.
Michael is injecting digital deliciousness into the popular magazine, cleaning house, and insisting on transparency. And like us, he's asking contributors to go by their real names. Michael's sticking his own neck out. Having gone from a lucrative job as a consultant to his new position as publisher, he's sticking his own neck on the line in hopes of building a better magazine and a better community.
Listen as we talk with Michael about the challenges he faces, life as a gay dad, and the legacy of Harold Washington.
The psychology of coffee and why it tastes better from your favorite mug.
Swedish police officers in trouble again for working out in the nude.
And Aer Lingus Airlines uses nudity to promote their $20 ticket from London to Ireland. But just how naked do they get?
Plus, questions from you through Facebook. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Today's show is brought to you by you. You, the fabulous listener, and your support make it all possible.
If you like our programming, go to our website, feastoffun.com, and make a financial contribution. Or get yourself a fabulous t-shirt. Thank you for your support.
Today's show is brought to you in part by Steamworks, Gym Sauna, and Baths.
Release the pressure! Saca la presión, Steamworks.
Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play. Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, Toronto, Seattle, Washington, and now Vancouver, British Columbia. When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you.
Visit steamworksonline.com and register to get a discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fools on the promo code field to get your very special discount. Remember, folks,
play hard, play smart.
On January 1st, 2009, community development consultant Michael Harrington took over the oldest continuing gay and lesbian print publication in Illinois, Gay Chicago Magazine. He's on today's show to comment on the changing face of media and hopefully heal some bitter longtime divides that have caused problems within the Chicago queer community. Welcome to Feast of Fun, Michael.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
You have a gorgeous smile. And there's like love in your heart. I just want to tell people, you like walked into the room and it was like there was this aura or something around you.
I think you get that from being a dad, don't you?
You have to be loving, yeah. Or you go crazy.
And I get a little bit of it from my mother too, I think. Yeah. Thank you very much for having me here.
That's so why take over a print publication at a time when everybody's saying, you know, gloom and doom, the economy is going to the toilet, print publication advertising is shrinking, a lot of the future of a lot of these institutions may not be around. Why participate in it now?
Well, when I was recruited to be publisher of Gay Chicago Magazine, I thought about this is a fantastic opportunity and to work full time in my own community. I relish this. I think it's very exciting. I have always done tons of volunteerism in the community, political, social services, you name it. But to be able to work full time in my community was just something I couldn't pass up.
Weren't you afraid of the challenges, though? Because, I mean, what was the front cover of the Reader said what's black and white and dead all over was newsprint.
Yeah.
And so it seems like in the newsprint world, there's doom and gloom, and you're thinking, how are you going to make this successful?
No, I wasn't afraid of the challenges because, frankly, I lived through worse challenges than this. I lived through the era of AIDS, HIV, and my first partner passed away, and I took care of him until his death. Dealing with that is serious challenges. Mm-hmm. This is about celebration.
Mm-hmm. So this is a walk in the park.
Gay Chicago Magazine is about celebration of our community. It's not a walk in the park. Of course, it's hard and there's work every day. A lot of decisions to be made. As publisher, I'm in charge of the business, the management, the advertising, and finance side of the corporation. I'm also in charge of the editorial and vision and coverage of what's happening in our community. So I'm managing both sides as publisher. And this challenges every day. But to me, it's exciting because of the good people I discovered are working at Gay Chicago Magazine.
But you had a clean house, though. You walked in there and said, all right, there's going to be a shakedown.
Nice working with you.
New sheriff in town, right.
New sheriff in town. Well, where do you? What direction do you kind of see this taking? Because I picked up a copy of Gay Chicago Magazine not too long ago, and I felt like something had kind of changed, and I looked and I saw your picture there, and then you'd written an article, and I thought, I'm going to talk to this guy. Because the magazine always, to me, just never seemed to have a personality or a face, and I almost feel as though you're putting a personality or a
face. In the past, it was made by robots.
Yes.
And a lot of robots, a lot of guys and gals work there. And for some reason, and I don't understand it, but we're making a change about it, there was never an identity. The name, the face, who was doing the writing, who were the people who were actually involved in the communities, living in these experiences. Their names and pictures were not always in the paper. Now, I put myself out there because I'm going to be a start of it. But soon, all of our columnists, all of our writers, we're going to get them all in front of the photographer and get their pictures into so that everybody can really see who these folks are. Because we're in the neighborhood all the time.
I'm sensing there's a change in a lot of things. And maybe this is the influence of Facebook, I would say, that is requiring people to use their real names.
Yes.
To not hide behind pseudonyms or sort of aliases. Whereas, like, if you look at the history of gay and lesbian newspapers in the 1970s and 80s, most of the people who wrote for those things were on their, like, Amanda Be Reckoned With or something like that. You know? Peter Gozinha.
So you said there's more transparency and stuff.
We went to a conference and they were saying, why do people don't act like jerks on Facebook, but they do act like jerks on MySpace? Is because on MySpace, you can hide behind a fake name, but on Facebook, if you hide behind a fake name, eventually Facebook catches up with you and kicks you out.
I'd say Gay Chicago Magazine is very much about reality. Mm-hmm. And the reality is that we are real people. Yes, it's a big corporation. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of money involved. There's a lot of people involved. But corporations don't need to be faceless. Mm-hmm. They don't need to be so huge and impenetrable and you have to bow, but when you get to them, no. Come into Gay Chicago Magazine and shake the hands and sit down and talk about whatever is going on in your life.
Michael, you got to be careful what you say because you get some crazy people walking into their office and you won't be able to get rid of them.
He said I could come in here and shake his hand.
I'm going to be here every day.
Well, what are you looking for? Because you're actually looking for people to come on board and to do some volunteer writing for the magazine.
Yes.
What are you looking for in that person? What do you want them to bring to your magazine?
Well, of course, we're looking for people that can put words together with some punctuation and some some good spelling. That helps. But
you're the editor. Shouldn't you be editing that?
Well, yeah. Hey, we do a lot of work, and I wish we got paid for everything we do. But what we're really looking for are voices from the communities around Chicago and within Chicago and Chicagoland. The LGBT community is larger than Halsted Street, actually. I saw that when I was out in Humboldt Park working with the Puerto Rican community, the Puerto Rican Cultural Center, a wonderful gathering of nearly 200 people, men, women, and kids from high schools. They had an out queer high school group performing as part of this conference on HIV and AIDS.
They're called, just for the record, Nuestro Tambú.
Tambulo, that's right. And so, last weekend we were out in South Shore at Club Escape and had a great time meeting people who are interested in Gay Chicago Magazine and contributing to it. So we want people from around the communities to be involved.
Well, it does seem that the gay scene in Chicago in a way is kind of segregated. You have the people that hang out up in Andersonville and they'll go to the bars there. Maybe they'll go to Halsted. And, you know, Halsted seems to be the place where a lot of people go. But like you say, there's places up in Rogers Park that are doing it. And then there's places on the south side. There's a few bars here and there. I've never been to a gay bar on the south side. So I don't even. What is a gay bar on the south side of Chicago
like? We tried to go to a gay bar, so they're closed.
I think we're going to Chesterfield's one.
Chesterfield's, and they were like, we're banging on the door, and there was nobody there.
No, I think
what is a gay bar on the south side of Chicago like?
The gay bar on the south side of Chicago like is different from what we celebrate on Halsted Street, for sure. Halsted is fantastic, and there's no question about it. It is our number one out-of-the-closet gay destination for the nation. Mm-hmm. Halsted Street, Boys Town, it's called, the nickname. Mm-hmm. But there are communities around the city as well that have spots and pockets of residential and gay business neighborhoods where we're out, and it's black and white and brown, and Gay Chicago Magazine hopes to celebrate that. The difference is basically color.
It's race.
It might be race. It might be class in economics too, but basically there's a lot of similarity. There's men and women out enjoying each other, celebrating their sexuality, and being proud and confident of it. And we just have a lot more money spending around it in Halsted Street. And again, that's the number one thing to celebrate, and I love that. But we also want to acknowledge that there's great celebration happening around the city, too. And I'm looking for that and encouraging that contribution to Gay Chicago as well.
Well, we were talking about sort of the 1980s and 70s, or even, you know, I have to say that I've observed this and had problems when trying to bring friends into bars or my sister into a bar, is that they used to ask you for several forms of ID as a way of sort of like controlling who got to go in and who didn't. And I would say like the Denny's lawsuit where an African-American family was refused service sort of opened up the doors of litigation to these gay bars from their African-American customers. Saying you're creating you're refusing service. And I'm wondering today in 2009, have we become more embracing of racial and cultural diversity, or are we just like, you know, been sued into being more tolerant of others?
No, I really believe that there's been lots of improvements based on the improvements that our society as a whole. There have been improvements made where, now listen, I remember going into gay bars where there'd be three or four of my guy friends and one woman, and they'd say, well, she's not welcome here. And, you know, we all of us would say, I'm sorry, then we're not coming in either. So it was the male bar discrimination against women coming in. It was just ridiculous. A lot of improvements have happened since then. And I think it's because our society is maturing finally, and more people are being educated, and more of us are being out and saying, not only are we not going to tolerate discrimination, we want you to understand we will be treated and accepted as equals. Gay people do that, and people of color are doing that in this city. And I think we made advances. I don't think it's about having been lawsuited or invaded against. It's about people learning more.
What do you think that the bars are sort of realizing that it actually pays to be hip?
It pays to welcome your customers that have got green in their pocket, that's for sure.
And money does a lot of talking, that's for sure.
And I think it's being reflected.
Is this a sort of like the Obamification of America? I mean, it's like we asked for change in the last election, and we're getting it. And then people are like going, oh, I'm not ready for so much change.
Well, I don't think we're the post-racial society yet. There's still a lot of improvement that needs to be made in many respects. But I'm happy to be here at Gay Chicago, noting and documenting what we're doing.
Well, it's inevitable to make a comparison with you because you are the only, to my knowledge, the only openly, you have this huge smile on your face, the only openly gay African-American black publisher that I know of in this country. And probably there are others, they're just in the closet, but
I look forward to meeting them.
You look forward to meeting them. You know, what is going on through your mind is saying, you know, in turning to your family and to your kids and saying, I'm taking over a magazine, a print publication at a time where most people would say, your financial advisor probably said, don't do this. You know, said, this is a risk. I mean, you're putting your family, your finances, you're putting your neck on the line because you want to do what with this publication? You want to heal?
Well, I think the first word I use, and I've written about it a lot, is I want to celebrate. I'm happy, and I enjoy celebrating our LGBTQ community. We're out and proud in so many ways, and I see so much about us that needs to be honored, celebrated, and have fun with being who you are.
Yeah.
That's what I like to live my life about, and I'm happy to share that with Gay Chicago Magazine and our community. I want Gay Chicago Magazine, and it's done this in many respects in the past, to celebrate who we are, to give voice to people all across Chicagoland, talk about, I'm out, I'm proud, and doing that helps educate those who don't understand.
So you think we don't celebrate who we are as gay people enough?
Not enough. Oh, no. We need to do it much more.
Well, why is that? Is it internalized homophobia? Do we just hate ourselves? What's the problem here?
No,
Is it society coming down on us?
I would say maybe the latter. There's still a lot of oppression going around, and there's still a lot out there that would say you do not deserve to be who you are, and we don't want you to be who you are. Our job is to celebrate that. I think our bars and our community organizations do a great job at also lifting up who we are and the different parts of us, from the community center to the bars. The bars, by the way, the very first community center in this nation. People would go out to be out with others like them. they were community centers all across large and small cities.
Bars with shot dollar shots.
Right, right. So the bars will always remain to be that.
And back rooms and all the wonderful things that
disco
bars
Disco beats happening. So what, you know, you've seen a lot of change happening. Where do you think, how is our culture changing, and how is print, you know, community publishing changing?
Well, certainly one of the biggest developments is the internet, and people, most times, a lot of people rely on the internet for information gathering. They use the internet for research. They use the internet for networking as well. The difference with publications like Gay Chicago Magazine, and you can read Gay Chicago Magazine in all its glory online at gaychicagomagazine.com.
And you can download the PDF too, right?
Download the PDF. But the difference of having an actual publication that's in color and 60 some pages every week, every Tuesday we come out, this is you can sit down and read it at your leisure. Mm-hmm. You can enjoy it whether you're in the bars or at home. You don't have to have a computer, a laptop, or even your cell phone to read it. When you're sitting at a bar or you're going out on the town, you can pick up a magazine and have it there always with you. The difference of it, for me...
So it's like a Kindle, but doesn't need batteries.
Right. Okay. A Kindle.
A Kindle is one of those
Kindle,
things.
Oh, the Kindle book.
The Kindle book reader.
But you don't need batteries for it.
Well, and the thing is, though, too, is like if you come into town, so we get questions from listeners all the time, and it's like, I'm coming to Chicago, where should I go, what should I do, and stuff like that. And this is the kind of thing that gives you a nice update on what's happening and the specials and what's out in the bars and, you know, where you can pick up your dildos.
It's a convenient directory for what's happening in our community, and it's easy and handy to hold on to and keep with and refer to again and again. We've got many people that read it and keep it. There's pictures, of course, of the nightlife and all of the hot fun that's happening.
I think we're in this one. Are we in that one?
I like it because you guys ran a lot of photos of us. And
when
it's
you
like,
were at Steamworks, we had that. That was pretty cool.
And people are like, you have such a great body. It's like, that's just my face photoshopped into a model's body.
Yeah, and the body that I'm on, that guy's dead.
Well, thanks for reminding people about that. But he died in a car accident.
He had a heart attack.
Everyone's like, he died from AIDS.
God rest his soul.
But I was like, he died from too much fun.
I have nightmares about it, though. I think, oh my God. My body,
so you're sort of like bringing more of a personal tone to this publication. You're bringing a face to it. You're at cleaning house by asking people who wrote under aliases to write under their own names. Is that well received inside the? I mean,
yeah. I think
I can see that some people weren't too happy with.
Well, the focus of it has been just write it and print it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and forgetting that we also are personal people and not being personal. So I don't think it was like we were averse to it. It just apparently never occurred. I actually don't know, but now we are putting more names to stories, to articles, to actual people. This week's cover features the Chicago Merit 7 leave court victorious. These seven LGBTQ people were arrested when they were asking for a marriage license in Cook County Marriage Bureau, and it was a bogus arrest, and the judge and the prosecutor agreed, let's throw this out. So we're featuring them on the cover. This is what we're going to be doing on a regular basis.
Because they were arrested because they were doing a sit-in. They were protesting, and the people originally said, you know what, at the office, we can wait until 10 o'clock for you to leave. But they decided not to, and so they several hours before that, the cops came and arrested them and took them. Do you think that they really threw it out bogus and stuff like that because they didn't want because they didn't want to deal with it? Is that an easy way to just brush it away and say, well, we didn't press charges, we didn't do anything? Wouldn't it have been better for them to get sentenced?
To be prosecuted. Well, for the cause, for them as individuals.
Well, and they picked this battle because they believe in it. And I think that these people would have, they probably would have gone to jail if they had to.
I think these seven would have definitely gone the distance if that was required of them, because they've done this before. Mm-hmm. This issue needs to be pushed for equality for us all. I think there's many different political groups that have many different strategies. Gay Chicago Magazine is going to be about covering and giving celebration to the fact that they're doing the work. They're doing the work for a lot of us. They're getting out there when a lot of people are doing the best they can in large and small ways. Everything matters, whether you're doing lobbying in the halls of power in the corridors at Springfield or you're out there on the streets. protesting and showing up when the Bible thumpers show up. You're there too in their face, as just happened this week as well.
Oh yeah,
did you see
the Phelps family protesting on the South Side
at the University of Chicago,
and the frat boys came out and they were playing some disco song from the 70s. I don't know what it was, but they're half in their underwear and just dancing around in front of them like
pretty sexy.
Whatever. Yeah, it was pretty sexy.
Of course, and I celebrate that. I want to celebrate our sexuality. Absolutely.
So, Ed, but you've been involved in the Chicago community for a very long time, and you actually were a member of the Gays and Lesbians for Harold Washington for mayor. I mean, that goes back pretty far.
Is that right?
that's like the 80s, isn't it?
Yes, it was the 80s. Okay.
Well, geez, Mark.
That's like 20-some years.
Remind them of,
We were running off flyers with Harold's printed, stated lesbian, gay positions and stances in support of our community and handing them out at bars and going door-to-door with them. Yes.
Was he the first mayor of Chicago to support the gay and lesbian community?
I think there's nobody that had done it to the extent and length that he had done it that before that. Jane Byrne was very supportive of the gay and lesbian community too, but Harold was the one that says, no, let's put this in law, let's put this in writing, let's have absolutely representatives, and let's pass equality in Chicago. Harold pushed it the envelope much further. And that's why I was very happy to work for him.
Well, there was controversy. I'm bringing it up and asked you if you knew anything about this. There was rumors that Harold Washington, when he died, he was found wearing women's undergarments. and that's the gossip.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And when he was honored by the Gay and Lesbian Hall of Fame, there was a lot of uproar about it because they were felt like they were honoring somebody who was in the closet about their transvestism. And then there was an artist in the I think it was in the early 90s that had a painting at the Art Institute that depicted Harold Washington that basically had a depiction of that rumor showing Harold Washington in bra and panties and women's undergarment, and the painting had to be taken down because of the uproar it caused.
Because the painting was really the thing that kind of exposed it all, because this wasn't like a common rumor.
It was actually a pretty common rumor, but it was a situation where it was a rumor, and people are debating whether there was any validity to it.
And people will probably be debating and discussing Harold Washington's sexuality forever and a day.
So like Harry S. Truman in the same situation. And
Harry S. Truman's gay?
I'm sorry, no. I'm the director of the FBI.
Oh, Edgar Hoover.
Hoover.
Abraham Lincoln. You know, who was and who wasn't. The list is long.
Well, does it matter or does it not matter what the sexual orientation or gender preference of these elected leaders are, or does it matter what they do for us?
I think what matters is being honest, number one, in any elected official. And if you're going to be one of these senators that's busy Bible thumping in the Senate and then in the back room or the shower stall doing something different, that hypocrisy is what needs to be exposed.
And I think the thing that's important here is, did he look good in those bra and panties?
He probably did.
Was he attractive? The other thing is, what is, a lot
allegedly.
Of and who knows if he's gay or if he was a transvestite or whatever, and most of these guys, when they're transvestites, they put on those bra and panties, they're at their home, they,
anyway,
a lot, whatever.
Harold was pushing our agenda
from day one.
And never back from it.
And why do you think people who push
the agenda, are they afforded a certain level of privacy that people who don't push that agenda are?
Oh yeah, hypocrisy is not to be tolerated.
Hypocrisy especially means when you violate your ability to have privacy.
You're violating what you say you believe in so that you can hurt somebody else. That's the problem I have with people who are hypocrites, who live one lifestyle but spend time hurting our community through legislation and policies that don't benefit us.
Mark, you had a wonderful quote from a previous show where we were talking about Clay Aiken being in the closet. What did you say?
Oh, I said, you don't get to eat the meal if you don't help cook the food. Because here he is getting all the gay cock he wants, but look, he doesn't have to pay the benefit.
Well, now he came out of the closet.
And
what was the consequence? He has a hot, hot boyfriend that can do the splits while he's doing a handstand with one hand.
I think with Harold too, like some kinds, like those kind of fetishes, like transvestism, is, you know, it's a private thing. You know, you don't want people exposing necessarily what you do in the bedroom, but like being gay is, you know, it's your life. It's who you are, I think, in a lot of ways. And I don't know if being a cross dresser is that much of an identity like that, because part of the thrill, I think, is the secret, isn't it?
Well, I would jump in there by saying that I want us to remember that there's many different parts of our community, lesbians, gays, bisexuals, trans people, who all have different ways to express themselves. Yeah. I want to honor and celebrate them. If you have people in a position, though, to hurt somebody while they're being secret about the very thing that they're attacking, that talks about some pathology. Mm-hmm. That talks about something that the public needs to deal with. And that is exposing the hypocrisy.
Well, let's talk about the pathology, because, I mean, one thing that I've seen that's sort of endemic in institutions or estates like gay websites or gay print publications or gay media entities is that they see themselves as rivals. And I would say that, you know, the internet has taught us that that in order for electricity to flow, you have to complete the circuit. And I think that for us having you on the show is an attempt at for us to get the circulation flowing inside our community and in Chicago. And what can you say to the people who are the haters? The see you as a rival. They're probably listening to this right now, Michael. What do you say to them?
I'd say we need all of our media. We need everybody that's doing good right now to promote our story, to share our experience and the fact that we're common, our commonality with others. We need all of our media working. I don't see the competitors as much as I see colleagues in helping celebrate the lesbian, gay, trans community. We need more media about who we are and what we're doing. Yes, everybody's searching and competing for advertising dollars, and we're competing for, I guess you would say, eyeball space. But we need more eyeballs seeing and talking about what we are. So I'm busy being happy with our niche at Gay Chicago of celebrating the voices from the communities, the voices from Halsted Street, all the way out to Dalton, all the way up to Lake Forest, all the way out to Oak Park.
But are you convincing them to, I mean, not to be the, you know, to give you the bird? I mean, it's like, how are you saying to them, you know, Entity X, heal, breathe, grow, love?
Well,
what do you say to
we're
them?
Asking advice here, too, for ourselves.
I mean, I'm not doing this myself, you know, Michael.
This is a media outlet right here.
Right here, right now.
And I celebrate the fact what you guys are doing. This is tremendously wonderful.
Isn't it?
There are a lot of people.
Tell me how good are
going to be hearing and thinking about and clicking on your website and learning a little bit more than they learned yesterday about what we are like. I think we need much more of that, because there's a lot to celebrate. There's a lot of things in our own community that are hurtful, that are painful. There's a lot of suspicion and a lot of second guessing and self-doubt that the larger society puts down on us. We will rise above it by just honoring ourselves first. I want Gay Chicago to do that. Gay Chicago Magazine will celebrate us and honor us.
So honor yourself as an individual first.
Yes.
And then it'll help you and the larger community.
Focus on yourself.
How do you get that person to honor themselves, though?
Because it's easier to hate on others than it is to love yourself.
Because that requires some looking at yourself, too.
It means like embracing the things you don't like about yourself. So you look at that wart in your nose metaphorically, or that, you know, things that you don't like about yourself, and you have to start addressing it. But when you hate somebody else, then it becomes really easy to not pay attention to yourself. And drama, meaning hurt feelings, misunderstood, conflict, is a lot easier to do than to actually listen to each other.
And we grow more, and we have more fun when we listen to each other, actually, because we find out how much we have in common and what we can share and how we can party together.
Well, what works good in Chicago? What is good? What is fabulous and wonderful and great about being gay in Chicago?
I'd say being out. There are communities we know for sure, with the center in Halsted and Halsted Street, that's established as gay central for Chicago. You can be out and proud. Men and women can hold hands together and enjoy and celebrate. But however, I'd say there are other communities around the city where you can do that too. Being out is what works for me. That's what's really good because it educates other people too.
And then as opposed to, you know, Schaumburg, you can't walk with your hands.
We'll
I mean, what does it mean?
If it's not happening in Schaumburg, it's going to happen sooner than later because we're starting here.
There's a freedom there, though, too. And especially, I think, of a lot of people when they come in from out of towns and other places and stuff like that, they can go to Halsted Street. They can walk with their boyfriend down the street and nobody cares.
And there are other communities where it's okay to do that, too. Yeah. I live in Rogers Park. We have a huge...
The RP.
With the ROPA. It's the ROPA, they call it. A huge gay lesbian community in Rogers Park. And several bars, which are, as again I said, are miniature community centers, the bars.
What's your favorite place to go have a drink?
In Rogers Park?
RP,
Up in the RP. We call it the RP on the show.
I love Touche's, and I love Jackhammer, and the new one in the Glenwood is pretty cool, too.
Did you ever hang out at the Top Hat?
That you go have a drink at Touche?
I have more than one.
Woo!
Did you ever hang out at the Top Hat?
The Top Hat on Morse Avenue.
But
there was a wonderful place that welcomed everybody. Yeah, yes, I did.
They were very welcome. I used to go in there with my friend Jackie, and I was always surprised because she's like, come on in. She's like, it's a black bar, but then nobody cares. But it was more like a neighborhood. And you'd go in there and you'd sing karaoke and stuff like that, and everybody was cool. They didn't care. Like,
but didn't it feel like Sandra Bernhardt in that movie, Without You, I'm Nothing, where she's performing for a mostly African American audience?
No,
and they're just
like,
not into her.
Well, see, you know, that's a stereotype people need to let go. That's a black bar.
But I was really,
for everybody,
but I was really disappointed to hear that it had closed. And they some people really
condo,
said it was
a realtor bought it and tore it down and is building a condo. It was in a perfect space because it's near the train tracks for residential development.
But it was also one of those places that had that late night license, in which the city of Chicago really kind of comes down on. So
the police commander said there were never any problems.
I know.
Top Hat never had problems.
I know, and it was a shame to see it go.
We are talking to Michael Harrington. He is a former community development consultant. I have no idea what that is. He is now the publisher of the oldest continuing print publication in Illinois with a new voice and a new flavor, Gay Chicago Magazine. He's taking your questions through Facebook, through my profile, Fausto Furnos. Adam Reed wants to know, are you going to be adding any new sections to your magazine?
Yes, we are. In fact, in this week's edition, we talk about, it comes out tomorrow. We're looking for...
That'll be today, actually. When this
Tuesday. So say, let's take
today. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
We're looking for volunteer writers from around the city. We've already reached out to some people, and we're looking for more. We want to have more women writing. We want to ask more people of color to contribute. We want to have more guys and gals in Boys Town, New Town. It used to be called when I was in the 80s. It's still the Lakeview community along Halsted. We want people around Chicago writing. So we are looking for more writers. We're looking for people to devote columns on. One of the ideas is think global and act local. We have a lot of LGBTQ people who are acting in many ways to promote our culture, our society.
I got a great idea for you.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
So what I would recommend is you guys create a Flickr group that allows anybody to add a photo of what happened in the bars, in the events that week in Chicago. Then you as the photo editor or whoever's your photo editor picks the best pictures and gives credit to all the different people who took the pictures,
of course.
Doesn't cost you a penny.
Of course.
That's a wonderful idea.
I come up with ideas. I'm the idea man.
Will you do that?
Can I get you to commit to that?
I commit to it. We take pictures and cartoons from drawings from people, submit things all the time because that is what Gay Chicago Magazine
is.
I'm going to hold you to that, Michael. It's a platform.
I know where you live now.
Yes, it's a platform for expression, and we want to do that. Yeah.
Okay.
So David Harvey wants to know what do you want to see your magazine doing in the next couple of years? Where do you want to see it in the future that is not there now?
I'd want to see us working even harder to give voice to and expression for people around the city to talk about what's happening in their communities. Again, I'm going to return to it. We do a good job in covering the bustling, hustling, proud, out gay community on the north side. We have communities on the south side and the west side that have just as much great stuff going on for them in different ways, in different flavors. I would like to see us do more to give voice to that and offer those people to write, call, and suggest what they like to see it. Because it's basically, it's your publication. It's not mine. I'm the publisher. I'm in charge of managing a lot of people, a lot of professionals. But our whole job is to reflect you, to listen to you, and to give you the opportunity to help share in the celebration of Gay Chicago.
Jason Smith and Pat Lee, who are two fabulous photographers, both award-winning photojournalists, want to know if they can get a job. They're looking for a job. So if you want to hire, if people want to be hired by your magazine to be contributors or writers or photographers, how do they go about it?
If they want to contribute, they can write to gayshymag@gayshymag.com.
Okay.
That's the general email
address.
You
should write to the guy who owns gayshicagomagazine.com and have him give you the domain.
That's a long...
You don't have Gay Chicago Magazine? You don't own that?
Gayshymag.com.
Okay. Gayshymag.
But you do have gayshicagomagazine.com.
Oh, gayshicagomagazine.com. Yeah. Yes, but that's our web address.
They have an abbreviation because I think
for our email,
a lot to tie. For our email, it's gayshymag@gayshymag.com.
Okay.
That's the email.
Because you want it shorter.
And Dan wants to know, are any plans for a redesign of the magazine? To give you, put your thumbprint on it.
Dan is already seeing some changes that are happening. As you mentioned, we have now the publisher's page where it's my picture and my name is actually there, and we're putting more in that. We have a new contents page. We're starting to start a news section that's going to be changing, featuring more Chicago-based news. Because as I said, I celebrate what the other papers are doing in covering national gay news. That's really good and important. We're covering neighborhoods.
You are a gay dad.
Yes.
You have two kids.
Yes.
How old are they?
They are 11 and 12.
And you're partnered.
Jack, yes.
Long time. But you have an interesting legal relationship with your children.
Yes, we are. Our lawyer told us we are the third male couple in Illinois, the third gay male couple in Illinois to co-adopt. Usually what happens is one member of a couple will adopt, and then later there'll be a second adoption, it's called. But many women have done it, but we were the third male couple
to co-adopt. Is it easy for gay male couples to adopt in Illinois?
Actually, I'd say yes. Compared to the other states in the nation, yeah. Illinois actually has it's not written about a lot, but it has a long history of, in Cook County especially, of supporting lesbian gay parents as adoptive parents. There are, on any given day, 20,000 children in need of guidance and love and support. We're happy to be doing it. We started off as foster dads, and then eventually the courts approved us to be the adoptive dads. Our names are on their new birth certificates.
Why is that so rare? I mean, that should be more common, wouldn't it?
I don't know. We certainly see in my neighborhood, Rogers Park, a lot of gay dads with children, a lot of lesbian moms with their own children. We see lots of them. I don't know why or what the statistics are. I just know that there's a lot of people with children. Are they legally adoptive parents or co-adoptive? I don't know the statistics.
Well, I think in Rogers Park, they have all these fabulous old homes and stuff like that, perfect for raising kids. So you have lots of room for space for them to run around. So I would imagine that they would flock to neighborhoods like that. Whereas Lakeview, Boys Town, it's not necessarily conducive to raising kids.
It's sort of a concrete jungle down here. But
I know people that grew up in Lakeview, you know, like our friend Victoria Lamar, who will hopefully be on the show later this week or next week.
Everyone's going, oh my God.
And she's just, it was a rough area to live in growing up back then.
It still is, in a sense.
In a sense, too, because I think, kids need room to move. They got to get around and stuff
And we've got the lakefront in Rogers Park, which is really wonderful also for raising kids.
So you guys got to, we went to see Escape from Witch Mountain, and I said, at the end of the movie, I was like, it's a shame we're
Race to Witch Mountain.
Uh-huh. And I felt like,
With The Rock.
With The Rock. I hated the fact that they put this sort of female sidekick to him, because it's like, it would have been like the perfect gay dad movie. Like single gay dad.
He really seemed like the gay dad in that film.
He seems like a gay dad in that movie. And it's sort of like, are any plans to take your kid? What was the last movie you guys went to see? Because your kids are, about that age.
11 and 12. We see movies. We watch a lot on cable. I'm most excited about the fact that we actually got to go to Hawaii last year. That was fantastic.
I bet they loved it.
They did.
I bet they loved it. Now, you were also a member of the Gay and National Board of the National Association of Black and White Men Together. What is that organization?
NABWMT for short. It's a coalition of 32 chapters in cities around the nation of black and white men to come together to fight racism and sexism and homophobia.
Stop for a second. NABWMT.
National Association of Black and White Men Together. And they do education, they do workshops. Again, being out is really important. You ask me what works, being out is important, and it's also good for your soul. It's good for the celebration. So NABWMT
and gets you laid.
that can happen at Dominic's if you're paying attention. I think I was glad to be part of the national board because we're promoting education in communities around the nation, and the more you can do that, the better.
So is this like a support for like people that are in like in mixed race relationships?
Also that too. It includes people that are in interracial relationships because again, this is not, we're still not in the post-racial society. Right. So there's challenges and issues about people being involved in interracial relationships. There are challenges between black, white, and brown still in this nation. Racism is not dead just because we elected a Barack president, but we're making progress.
Right.
But NABWMT exists to keep their progress moving forward.
And so what does the organization do? If I'm in a mixed background relationship, me and my boyfriend can come and be like, my boyfriend is racist. He's like, no, he's not racist. He's just, you know, wants you to clean up after yourself.
And he's learning about what it means to be involved with a person from a different culture, from a different background. It's a place for that also. Mm-hmm. It's a place to celebrate saying it's okay. Again, okay, being who you are. And beyond the personal support, there is the community education that goes on with a group
and
like that.
And so, like, let's say I'm a white guy and I find African American men attractive, I would want to join this organization so I might be able to meet.
Get your groove on.
If you're looking for support and affirmation,
okay.
The saying you're okay just like you are.
Okay.
That's very important. Right. We need that.
I think, as you know, I was born and raised in Puerto Rico, and I don't physically appear as somebody who was raised in Puerto Rico, but my name and my experience and my psyche is all that. And as a gay man, I've always felt like an outsider in my homeland, so to speak. And I've always felt as an outsider as a gay man from my Puerto Rican perspective. Do you think that African American gays share that similar sort of outlook?
Well, I think every quote oppressed minority in this nation is going to feel that. Black, brown, white, black, brown, women, Asians are going to feel that. Gay people will feel that. You're the only guy in a room full of other people who are not interested in the same-sex attraction, but they're interested in the opposite. If you're feeling different from everybody around you, you're going to feel the outsider feeling. But I think organizations like NABWMT help say, again, it's okay to be who you are.
And why is the outsider perspective valuable?
I think what that does is give you more insight into life. It tells you more. You don't see things just from one perspective. You see things from the culture in which you grew up. You see things from the culture in which you're living right now. And you can blend the best of both of them together to communicate better, to understand more. It gives you more insight into what's going on in another guy's head.
Isn't that a good thing? Because sometimes I feel like it's easier to just go by with blinders on.
Sometimes you just don't want to, you know, this is the thing about if you read Facebook, and sometimes you feel like the world's problems are all on your shoulder.
I know,
everybody wants you to join a cause that's like fix problem A, B, C, D. It's like, how do you, as a publisher and as somebody who's sort of like bringing in the world's burdens onto your shoulders, how do you just separating the noise? Keeping out the noise and static. How are you increasing your noise to signal ratio?
Well, I remind everybody that it's not my job, but it's all your jobs. Everybody's listening to this right now. It's your job to express yourself. Our job is to give you a platform for doing that.
And what's going to be the hardest thing for you to do? You said that your time is very limited right now. What is the most challenging?
The hardest thing for me to do is to get everywhere everybody wants me to be. Mm-hmm. You pointed out I'm sort of a unique person in a unique position, and I get pulled a lot all over the city right now. people that want me to come out and speak. I'm speaking at the Chicago Theological Seminary weekend after next. I'm asked to go to this event. I'm asked to speak at this event. And I'm happy to do it. But I don't have a twin brother.
Because you're everywhere now.
It's just one guy. It's just me.
And so do you leave your husband at home with the kids?
Jack is wonderful. And the kids are really great, too.
Excellent, excellent. What are you going to do for St. Patrick's Day? How are you going to celebrate? Are you going to go out to the bars?
For St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah, where can we run into you today?
I was thinking about checking out. I haven't been to the Granville Anvil in a long time.
Let's have a little St. Patrick's Day special.
You know, you can wear your leprechaun hat and wear green. Otherwise, they'll have to pinch you.
Because Aer Lingus has a special going on. Aer Lingus is an airline company from Ireland.
I like the name, Lingus. That sounds a little dirty.
It sounds dirty, but it's not because it's Celtic or Gaelic. Or whatever.
You know, so I bet lesbians love to fly on that airline.
Lingus.
Aer Lingus. Sounds like a sexual position.
But they have this thing going on. You can check our website. They have a promotion going. So it's £9.99. How do you say that?
That's 20 bucks.
Yeah, it's basically
just say 20 bucks. Anything in pounds, multiply by two, there's your curve. And this day and age, by three,
right.
Probably.
But I think the dollar's doing a little better these days.
A little
days.
Better than the pound?
A little better, yeah. But you can fly from London to Ireland for, basically 20 bucks. But they're trying to say that there's no hidden fees in there. So they got a bunch of people, like 999 people, to walk around in like shamrock bikinis. So it's guys and girls.
Ooh.
So they're trying to not hide anything.
I like that fire bush. I do.
But I guess some of the people got a little carried away.
I noticed that last week in the Gay Chicago magazine cover, you had two hot same-sex couples, two guys and two girls, and the one in the bottom right-hand corner, she's a redhead.
Mm-hmm.
But the two guys on the top, I guess you could say that
he might be Irish.
He could be a little Irish. It says, kiss me,
those guys
Irish.
Are lip-locked.
I think everybody's a little bit Irish.
It's hard to kiss. Now, is that clip art or are those actual people you know?
Our art director, Bert Glagwell, put this together, and he's a brilliant artist. And I don't know these people personally, but I think I'm glad that we're celebrating the fact that our sexuality matters. And we enjoy it, and it's okay. And that's why I
put
two men
and
two women kissing on the cover. Oh, we've got, actually, if you open the pages, you'll see more pictures of people hugging and kissing, too.
But you know what I'm saying? When you photograph somebody kissing, it looks like their faces are mushing into each other. And we have these sort of romantic ideas of what a kiss really is.
We have lots of photographers also who submit pictures to us. And I'm very happy that we got that. Three weeks before that, we presented the Mapplethorpe pictures on our cover.
Because that's going up at Northwestern, isn't that right?
Yeah,
is that still going on?
And yes, it is. And before that, we had Tito Valle of the Community Center on our cover celebrating the Oscars. This is what I want to be about.
That's not an actual real statue he's holding.
That's not the real Oscar.
No,
that has got to be photoshopped in there, of course.
But
that's not even his
event.
That's not even his hand. Because Tito has a hook. I don't know if you guys know that.
Oh, please.
Oh, that is so funny. He's like, you are trouble, Fausto. Oh,
no, that's a good picture of him.
That's hysterical. Listen,
in Sweden, I don't know what it is about Swedish cops, though, but they always seem to be getting in trouble. Recently they escorted like a stripper to a party, and they got in trouble for that? Well, now these Swedish cops are in trouble because there's reports going around that they've been exercising in their gym in the nude. And that there's photos of it. So
where can I get that photo?
I don't know. So if we have any listeners, like especially, what's his name? Magnus in Sweden, or Andreas Larsson, if you could send us photos of the police officers.
Or of yourselves.
The Swedish police officers. Yeah, just dress up like a cop.
Yeah, just dress up like a cop. Mail them to mail@feastoffun.com. We appreciate your generosity. Or you could send them to Michael at, Gay Shy Mag.
GaySheyMag@gayshymag.com.
So I'm sure they just want to sweat better. There's people who think you're pretty hot and they're going to want to...
He's married, Fausto.
So you don't,
He's married.
He may be married, but he's not dead. So what is up with coffee?
Coffee, psychological. They've done tests and stuff like that. So coffee and tea, people that drink it enjoy the process. They enjoy it more if they drink it out of their favorite cup.
I agree with that. There's a psychological factor to that.
Yeah. So there's something about like, well, the thing is they say with drug use, because they say there's caffeine.
Oh, because it's
involved,
a drug.
And then they people ritualize drug use.
It's part like of your favorite crack pipe.
Yes.
To puff on.
I'm sure Whitney Houston has her favorite crack pipe, and that high feels better with that. But no. But so yeah, they say.
Oh, Whitney.
So yeah, that morning cup of coffee, drink it out of. Get your favorite cup. Too bad we don't have Feast of Fools cups anymore.
I have a favorite cup.
Do you have a
you
favorite
do?
Mug?
Yeah, I do.
And do you
what
drink
is
your coffee
like?
Out of it?
Let's talk about
what's your favorite
mug?
Coffee mug look like.
My favorite coffee mug is huge. It's black.
Ooh, tell me more.
Awkward silence.
Tell me more.
My
tell
big
more.
Black coffee mug.
My
you know
big
what
black
I like?
And I take it with
mug.
Cream and sugar too.
They used to make these. How much ounces do you think these cups
those
hold?
Those things are like 20 ounces.
There's some weird plastic, and I know I shouldn't be microwaving plastic, but they're fantastic. They're the size of, and you know this. I lived in Texas for 6 years of my life when I went to college down there and had a television talk show, and I love the fact that Texans and people in the South drink from these enormous, oversized cups. And you come to Chicago, and it's like, ooh, little princesses drinking out of little teacups. And I'm like, get me some. I want a bucket. You know?
You like your large cups.
I get thirsty.
I just don't want to drink that much fluid. That just
I
is
do.
Too much, you know?
You know, I bet my kidneys are in good shape.
Yeah, but then you put all that sugar in there.
I don't put
the
any
next,
sugar. There's no
the next,
sugar in here.
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't
put sugar
any.
In your coffee.
I put like a half a teaspoon.
Wow, there
and
you
I,
go.
And my sugar is organic sugar. It's vegan sugar. Mm-hmm. Do you know what vegan sugar is, Michael?
Yes.
What is it?
It's vegan sugar.
No, but what makes sugar
what
vegan?
What makes some sugar non-vegan?
I guess it didn't go through an animal. I
no,
don't know.
That's correct.
Correct. Well, you know what? They cook it with bone ash. From like ashes from like
it's how
cows
sugar
and
is
stuff.
Purified.
It's crazy.
They purify it with stuff of the animal to make it white. Because you always wonder, it's like, how do they make sugar white?
They
you
bleach
know?
It with bone ash.
I thought
they bleach it with bone
yeah,
ash.
Yeah. Like with some kind of bone
so
ash.
So vegan sugar, it's refined with, I
something
guess, stuff.
Else.
Something
does it
else.
Taste better? That's what I want to know.
I think it does actually taste better. You know what my favorite stuff is? Rapadura, which is dried sugar cane juice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's granulated. And
is that that Sucanat stuff that you like too?
So it's also
to the
goes
hippie
by
store and buys this hippie stuff.
But I like that stuff because it's like it has a lot of caramel overtones and molasses and things like that. And I'm sure it's full of vitamins and B complex stuff. And man, it makes coffee taste like a rich, thick chocolate drink.
I like my coffee with creamy sugar. I'll try it.
Try it sometime. I'll fix them for you afterwards.
Okay.
And what? Last but not least, what is up with this poor little baby?
Well, there's a Chinese mother. And she had it's her first baby, and it's her newborn, and she's producing so much milk from her breasts, her baby can't keep up with it. So she's actually offered like the milk up to her, like her mother, her father, her husband have been drinking her breast milk, and now she has so much extra breast milk that she's just decided she's gonna bathe her child in it, and she left.
And called the publicity and called the newspapers to take pictures of it.
To take pictures of it because she says it's good for the baby's skin and that it makes it soft and whatnot. But I think it's so hysterical. But she says she is going to start looking for somebody to give the breast milk to because she figures there's probably a hungry baby out there somewhere. I don't know. But I just think it's so ridiculous that she's got so much breast milk that I'll just bathe my baby in it. When you had kids, did you guys bathe them in breast milk at all?
That sounds like a milk envy story.
Milk envy.
Milk envy.
Well, how old were your kids when you adopted them?
Erica was 10 months old, and her brother Eric was born a few months later.
And you bottle fed them, right?
Yes.
You had to, I guess.
I'm not breastfeeding, no.
Well, men actually can begin to lactate.
My mother, that's a feminist rumor.
No, it's true. It's true. It's true.
And what, is it going to breastfeed
when you hear
a
baby scream, doesn't it make your nipples tingle?
It does a little bit.
See? Now all our listeners' nipples are going to be tingling. And there's other people like they're going to be squirting. They're like, stop it, Fausto, quit it.
Well, I mean, it was a sort of interesting challenge when you adopted kids. Like your friends were like saying, what are you thinking?
Our friends, our neighbors, everybody was celebrating it.
They were.
Again, there's that word.
Somebody was saying it's like, you know, it's going to take up all your time.
Yeah.
You know, because there is a romantic, there's the idea of being a father, and then there's reality.
Well, the reality was that these are two beautiful babies. that needed some guidance, needed some love, and needed some help. And we had the financial and other resources to share that. And I'm proud that we did it, and our neighbors were proud of it. The daycare center put us on the parent advisory board right away. Two gay guys to get involved with guiding the parent, the daycare center. Same thing has happened in the schools that they're in right now. They recruit us for the PTA right away. You know,
because they want
dads are getting involved, and being gay was not an issue. It was, did we care? Were we going to sit there and help decide what's the best course of action and how their policies or procedures are going? You know,
what advice would you give to gay couples, same-sex oriented couples that are thinking of adopting children or having their own children?
I would say that the best thing to do is to remember to take care of yourselves. And I'll admit that Jack and I have not done a lot of that. We've spent a lot of time focused on the kids. I've also spent a lot of time in my community work as well. And I think, and as I look back over the 10 years, I wish we could have, and we still have a lot of time to do it, spend more time just taking it easy and looking at ourselves.
Don't be a martyr mom.
Well, martyr mom, but, you know, as I said earlier, I used to love going out to the discos and bars, and I miss that. And I haven't done very much of that. In the past,
well, in 10 years, they'll be old enough you can take them.
Will I be able to still dance? That's the issue.
Yes, you'll be able to still dance. But you never danced. You grew up in Chicago, and you never danced on Soul Train?
No, I watched it.
Okay.
Was Soul Train taped out of Chicago?
Yeah, it was taped here for
Don Cordy. That's right, because you're friends
with Soul Train.
And his, I think his nephew.
His nephew was in
Robert Cornelius.
Robert.
Yeah, yes. He's an amazing singer and musician performer. I don't know. Where are you at? Robert, if you can hear me, we want to talk to you.
He's probably drinking a drink right now at the Smart Bar, I'm sure.
I love Robert Cornelius and, you know, Don Cornelius and Soul Train. That was that show. And, you know, what best thing about it is you can watch them all now on YouTube. Yeah. It's like, those are, do you watch those? I just love it.
And
you
miss Bozo's Circus, too. Also produced in Chicago.
You did not go to see Bozo's Grand Prize game at all.
No.
Have you seen Oprah?
No, I've never been to Oprah either. No.
Jenny Jones?
No. Judge Mathis?
No, I've not been really keen on pop culture. I'm sorry.
You know, as kids, we in Puerto Rico, we would line up the garbage cans, pull out ping pong balls, and practice Bozo's grand prize game just in case we ever got that far in life. Because I wanted to get that bicycle when I was a kid.
Everybody played that. Yeah.
Michael, we want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're
a joyful, lovely person. We wish you the best of luck with Gay Chicago Magazine. And hope it grows and does all
flourishes,
the good.
Flourishes. And it's fabulous. You know what? I know we haven't heard it. I hope it celebrates what Chicago is. And I'm sure it will.
It does.
And I want to remind people, though, that we can't do the show without your support. So please visit our website, feastoffun.com, and make a donation, buy a t-shirt. Your support means everything.
Hearing feastoffun.com, I'm still a little bit
we just changed our name.
I know. It's Feast of Fun, and I want a t-shirt. Thank you very much for having me.
Today's show is also brought to you in part by Steamworks Gym, Sauna, and Bath.
Release the pressure.
Saca la presión.
Steamworks. Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play. Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, Toronto, Seattle, Washington, and coming soon, Vancouver, British Columbia. When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you.
Visit steamworksonline.com and register to get a discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fools, now Feast of Fun, on the promo code field to get that special discount. Remember, folks, play hard, play smart. We're going to be leaving you. Ooh, that feels good. That's Michelle Malone, her song Yesterday's Makeup from her album Debris. Why read these things? Debris.
He's Puerto Rican. What can you do?
Debris.
Now you say, oh, Lucy.
Oh, Lucy. It's available on our website, feastoffun.com. Support independent music. Share the word. Share the love.
And join us on Facebook. We have a Facebook group and a Facebook page.
Subscribe to the podcast on the iTunes Music Store and never miss a delicious show. Just go to tinyurl.com/feastoffun. It'll take you to the entry and you can hit subscribe. Sync it up with your iPod or portable MP3 player. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Billion.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.